DW Africa Link.
No one should be punished for criticizing the government. However, in Zimbabwe, a so-called Patriot Act law is seeking to do just that. The Criminal Law Amendment Act, enacted in 2023, criminalizes actions or speech deemed to, quote, injure the sovereignty and national interest of Zimbabwe. Now, this includes criticism of the government, especially in international forums or meetings with foreign entities, and can carry severe penalties such as long prison sentences, loss of citizenship, or even the death penalty in extreme cases. The good news is that the law is being challenged. In June 2025, Zimbabwe's High Court struck down part of the Patriot Act, calling it unconstitutional. The court ruled that the law was vague, overly broad, and violated fundamental rights including free speech and the right to participate in politics. This courageous act of challenging the law inspires hope for the future. But is this the end of the Patriot Act? Or is the government likely to double down on dissent? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Critics and legal experts say the wording of Zimbabwe's Patriot Act threatens free speech. Its vague wording lets authorities treat criticism as a crime, putting journalists, activists, and citizens at risk. Rights groups say it's a tool to silence dissent ahead of elections and prevent the exposure of corruption. International groups have condemned the law for violating human rights. For more on this, let's bring in Nigel Nyamutumbu, the Programs Manager for Media Alliance in Zimbabwe. That is a network of media support organizations. I also have DW correspondent in Zimbabwe, Privilege Mushanri. Hello, welcome to Africa Link. Nigel, tell me more about this relatively new law that also seeks to punish government critics.
Yes, thanks for having me. What it sought to do, really, is to try and legislate patriotism. In so doing, the government put out provisions that any individual that actively partakes or participates in a meeting or engagement with foreign nationals or with foreign governments that seek to demean the government or that seek to call for sanctions and so forth, obviously, I'm paraphrasing, that they would have been liable to, them being having their right to vote recused from them. There was even the question of them being liable to a death sentence if they actively participate in a meeting that would then result in a military intervention against Zimbabwe, as it were. And so broadly speaking, those particular provisions were ambiguous. Ultimately, what it then came out as, anything, be it critique of government, be it engagement with government on issues of concern with foreign nationals, even in terms of seeking solidarity, as it were, would have naturally been criminalized given the ambiguity of that particular provision and the vagueness in what patriotism would entail, in what actively participating would entail, and also in basically the curtailing of the right to association, because really you cannot necessarily restrict or constrict who citizens interact with, be they local nationals or foreign nationals. So the law was then deemed unconstitutional within the High Court on those accounts.
Very, very good foundation you've laid for us. And as you ended, the law was deemed unconstitutional by court in Zimbabwe. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand is, as we're speaking, there's an attempt in the Parliament of Zimbabwe to introduce another bill that will somehow further seek to clamp down on dissent and you know, almost criminalize anyone who criticizes the government. Is that what's going on? Tell us more.
The Parliament of Zimbabwe, it's not necessarily now at a bill stage, but what has been put before the Parliament of Zimbabwe is a motion which can then develop into a bill and ultimately a law if the government takes it up, or if one of the members of Parliament is to put it up as a private member's bill. In other words, if it is initiated from Parliament. But most certainly the legislators, in particular those of the ruling party, have put before the Parliament to consider enacting a law that makes it mandatory for national service and to have a law that would ensure that there is patriotism entrenched to the extent that anyone that is then deemed unpatriotic could face penalties and could be liable, which in a way is also retrogressive in the sense that you can't necessarily legislate patriotism. It is a concept that can then naturally clamp down on the requisite freedoms, because right. The concept itself of patriotism is not a legal concept, but rather a political nationalist, and not necessarily something that can be governed by law.
Right. Right. Thank you very much, Nigel. A privilege, most importantly, you being a journalist, you know, where you would have to cover different things, right? Including, you know, what the government is doing, and some may be deemed as criticizing the government and all. What's the feeling among you and other journalists about the Patriots Act and whatever motion has now been tabled in Parliament?
Thank you, Eddie. I would hasten to say that all these laws and legislation that the government of Zimbabwe is coming up with have a negative effect on our work as journalists. The discussion that has been going on among us journalists is that, look, we speak to sources, and sometimes sources happen to be foreign nationals. You may be doing a story on, basically, maybe probably investment or anything that has to do with a necessity for you to be speaking to a foreign national. So when it comes to the Patriotic Act, the vagueness of some of the provisions is that, look, you may be deemed as unpatriotic as a journalist who is a Zimbabwean national if you are to write probably a story or produce a story that is then judged as unpatriotic. And it's wide-ranging, and it's so open to abuse, because at the end of the day, who knows what is the definition of patriotism or the definition of criticism? We already have been seeing such kind of appetite to arrest journalists, because already for this year, we have seen our colleagues, two of them, one that was detained for more than 73 days under these kind of laws. And last week, we were in the courts where an editor paper, an independent newspaper here, was arrested for publishing a satirical column that was deemed to be critical of the president. And they are being charged right now for undermining authority. So these are some of the issues that, you know, among us journalists, we are now beginning to be worried to say what will become of us, especially those that work for media houses that right. are judged as critical to the government.
Right. And I mean, ultimately, what could this mean for your work? You steer clear of anything that could be seen as criticizing the government, or basically just serve as a mouthpiece of the government? What are the realistic ways this could push you and other journalists?
Definitely, this can curtail the freedom of expression, freedom of the press in the country. I think there are a number of laws that that can be bunched together with the Patriotic Act that the state can use against journalists. So it will definitely infringe on our work. And what it then does is that you self-censor, or you have to stay clear from certain issues. Or if you are brave enough to publish or write about those issues, you know the consequences at the end of the day, because arresting of journalists, particularly the two that we are talking about, is to send a message to say, if you do this, this is going to come to you. And the state president himself launching the national media policy in May, he actually said that under his leadership, the media is expected to promote peace, national cohesion, development, and anything outside that. In our own local language, he then said "chibagera muziso," which basically means a fist in the eye. So it's an indication that at the end of the day, if you publish or write any stories probably that are critical of the government and which are then judged not to be promoting national cohesion, the peace, the development, and what they expect, expect a fist in the eye.
Well, Nigel, you've just heard the submission from Privilege, and I'm basically trying to ask the question about whose interest does this Patriotic Act work? And it seems, from what I've heard so far, that it's pretty straightforward. It's the interest of government, it seems, against opposition and anyone critical. Is it as straightforward as that, Nigel?
In a way, the interest that this particular provisions and law are obviously to serve the ruling elite, in particular protecting the interests of the incumbent government. But I think you need to understand some of the insinuations of the history of Zimbabwe, insofar as a lot of this repressive legislation are a result of what I would perhaps term the hangover of colonialism, because these were the very same provisions and tools that were used by the colonial regime to suppress dissenting voices of the black majority then, who were obviously, you know, arguing against racial segregation and inequalities. And post-independence, there has not been then that deliberate attempt to deal with the legacy of repressive laws, laws that were used to the advantage of the colonial administration, which now the new, you know, democratic administration was then supposed to deal with. So we've got remnants of laws that were undemocratic to the extent that they had to take a liberation struggle to deal with it. Now, the essence and the propaganda that is now just doing rounds is, we brought about democracy because now there is one man, one woman, one vote. But the liberation struggle went beyond that. It also was supposed to have been about preserving individual freedoms, individual rights, which then include the communicative rights, the inherent right for one to express themselves, for one to have right to consciousness, for one to associate with anyone as they please, and to also create a culture in which The office of the president is not beyond reproach. It's not beyond, you know, senior government officials. Right. The state structure, as it were, it should also not be immune to criticism. And if anything, they should expect, you know, because they're on a higher pedestal, they are duty bearers. And to that extent, they should expect, you know, robust engagement, as would should happen in a democratic society. So that is pretty much saving the interest of government of the day, that any dissenting voice is silenced.
But I'm curious to know this. How do Zimbabwe's media laws compare to those in other SADC countries, basically to those in the same region, Southern Africa?
Yes, I think we do have similar challenges, to be fair, and only that advocacy in the region, in Southern Africa, is a moving target. And also noticing that there has been certain shifts in some governments in the SADC region. But by and large, we do face the very same challenge around the regulatory framework of the media in Southern Africa, with perhaps only just South Africa, and to an extent, in fact, a large extent, Namibia, being the ones that have really embraced, say, self-regulation, and have really embraced the independence of a regulatory, you know, in terms of the broadcasting sector, and they've also really embraced public service broadcasting, you know, freedoms that come with, you know, convergence, and so forth. But yet still, we are still confronted with that critical balance, particularly when you look at digital laws. There is that, you know, blurry balance between free expression and the need to ensure digital security. In Zambia, most recently, there's been a whole lot of debate on statutory versus self-regulation. Insult laws still find expression in the region. So there is some common thread, yet there is opportunity for reform.
The elephant in the room when you talk about Zimbabwe is the late President Robert Mugabe. It was very, you know, so to speak, almost sort of autocratic, right? Clamping down on dissent, you know, media of press freedom was an issue. People could not report as they deemed fit. And then you've come to now this government. Is there any difference? Is there anything better? Is there any major difference between this government and the government of former president, the late Robert Mugabe?
The major difference that is there is that the unlike in the Mugabe regime, the Mnangagwa regime has given us some semblance of engagement. It has sort of opened doors for civics, for professional associations, for media support in the case of where I, you know, work and so forth. They've sort of given us a seat at the table to try and get us to engage and present our positions. Yet, in practical terms, the structural issues that we were grappling with in the Mugabe regime are still finding expression in the Mnangagwa regime. The question of a safe operating environment, whilst we had seen and noted improvements, we are now noting regression. In the quest for media law reforms, whilst we are seeing some appetite to reform the media laws, what has come out of that process are actually cosmetic changes. And in terms of even the behavioral of the behavior rather of the administration of Mugabe and that of Mnangagwa, they are now striking similarities which are pose concern. But at least, as I said, they have in a way opened the door for engagement, and it is an opportunity that perhaps we should continue to utilize and engage and agitate for reforms going forward.
Right. So the Patriotic Act has suffered major blows in court, right? Where some sections have been declared unconstitutional. We mentioned that a bit earlier in the podcast. That sounds to me a bit positive that at least some systems are still working. And I think that's what Nigel was also alluding to earlier. Could this be signs of a failed law, possibly, if the courts are going to be against it, deeming large parts of it unconstitutional? What are your thoughts on that, Privilege?
Yeah, definitely it's a major score in terms of addressing laws that are repressive, where at least the courts are seeing these laws not in alignment to the Constitution. There's some kind of hope. But there is also another front where citizens are also worried because there is a shrinking of civic space. Not speaking for Nigel, but their space is in terms of civic society is under attack at the moment. Is that has been the last bastion in the country to be able to advocate for repealing of some of these repressive law. It is under attack. Why? Right now, we have what is called the Private Voluntary Organization Act, which was signed into law recently, which is now requiring every civic organization to re-register. And that in itself is trying to curtail maybe or if the work for some of these organizations that have been advocating against these repressive laws. So you'll find that the worry now is if civic society cannot work, if there's shrinking civic space, then advocates for all these against these repressive laws are gone. And it's a worrying situation. And in the parliament, you have the ruling party. It has got a sweeping majority. If they want to pass any laws, they can do that without any problem. So those are the kind of issues that citizens are grappling with in terms of navigating these developments in the country.
Right. So there is still hope. There are many more expected legal challenges, and we will have to keep tabs on that and see how it goes. But I like the way you ended it, that there's still hope that this action will be challenged in the courts in the country. Nigel Nyamutumbu, Programs Manager for Media Alliance in Zimbabwe. That's a network of media support organizations. And also DW correspondent in Zimbabwe, Privilege Mushanari. Thank you very much, guys, for your insights. Civil society and media groups are calling for legal reforms to align Zimbabwe's laws with free speech standards. They want clearer definitions to prevent abuse, and pressure is mounting on the government to respect court rulings and stop targeting dissent. Now, while challenges remain, countries like South Africa, Namibia, and Ghana protect free speech and press in their constitutions, with clear limits only on hate speech or violence. Journalists work freely, courts defend media rights, and active civil society groups help hold leaders accountable. This serves as a beacon of hope, showing that change is possible. So what do you think? Share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Your voice matters in these crucial discussions. As always, listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.